Hey there, Star Wars fans. Welcome back to another episode of Hyperspace Hangout. I'm Matt. He is Ez. Best episode so far.
Yeah, right? I mean, so. I like this one a lot. And again, you know, it's not, it doesn't try to overdo it. It's just a Boba Fett story, my friend. And I like that. I really like that.
I feel we're getting a different Boba Fett, but you know what? I just like it, man. I like Boba Fett. I like this more in tune with animals and nature. But at the same time, he's still hardened.
Matt, my favorite line in this episode was, "Find other Banthas, make baby Banthas."
I felt bad.
I was like, wow.
Did you feel bad for the Bantha?
I did, but at the same time, he was coaching him along, you know, go make other baby Banthas, and I felt good about that. So,
yeah, it was good, man. You know, where to begin with today's episode? We're done healing in the back to tank, it seems like. We finished sort of the flashbacks. I would say the timeline has been a little more, I think, fully explained, and it's just sort of as simple as Boba was with Boba was with the Tuskens for 5 years.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
the wandering sand people, as he called them.
He did. He was with the sand.
You know why? And I can't remember if it was Star Wars Theory or if it was who else? This other guy I kind of like. It's like heavy spoilers, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was Star Wars Theory who said it. And he said that he actually liked that he called them sand people, because for so often we refer to them as Tuskens. He's like, no, they are people.
Yeah.
And wow, sometimes I think people view them more as like animals. So I don't know.
Right. Right. Yeah. Again, there are people who this is the like out in the Dune Sea, right? They live there, and this is their territory. They're native, and it's just I like it. I like that he's connected with them. Like you said, it's really changed him, and I'm okay with this different Boba Fett. I really am. And he is different. You have to kind of say that. That's the whole point. And they made that kind of clear in this episode today as well. Like Fennec was talking about, some people would say his response is soft. But he felt that it was strong, right? That he's found this other way that he learned from those people. And he's been hard. I mean, it's a huge turning point for him. He was in the Sarlacc. He was a goner, left for dead on the sands of Tatooine, right? And here he is. So, yeah.
Exactly, man. Right here, comment from Anthony. It was a little poignant with Boba saying goodbye to the Bantha. He respects family because his dad was everything to him. Then we hear that Din Djarin theme, which we haven't got to just yet, but we will, because that was massive. We heard it twice today, to say the least. So in the flashback, we saw him save Fennec, which to me was where I was like, okay, because I felt like there was a lot more time, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To do stuff, but they just went right into it. So that means he was with those Tuskens and then on his own. For 5 years, he clearly was going back to Jabba's palace a few times because he said, you know, too many guards again.
Right.
To his Bantha. Then he obviously saves Fennec. He goes and finds the Modders, which are now part of the gang that he controls.
Yeah.
And it was actually something I guess I didn't pick up on until I thought about last week's episode when... I don't know. I can't remember the actor's name, but he's in Office Space. The guy at the beginning who's complaining about the thing, but he's in Office Space, right? He wants a stapler and the cake. Yeah. I always forget his name. Right.
Yeah.
The actor's name, but in Office Space, I think his name is Milton. Anyway. So he's there and he's talking about how they're freaks essentially.
Right.
And then if you actually pay close attention to Fennec sort of like gives Boba a look because she's been modified.
Yeah.
Yeah,
true.
So it's a very small little thing you can pick up on if you go back. Stephen Root. Yeah. If you go back and look. So very interesting with that, because he's clearly met these Modders before, which is probably why he sort of liked them. And we So I like that they, this episode sort of explains some stuff that happened in last week's episode. Then he gets Jabba's palace, gets Jabba's throne, and then we kind of go back into modern time, right? And
we're
setting up dinner, a war,
right? Yeah,
we saw the big dinner. Black Chrysanthemum's on our side, and we are setting up for war. And then they're saying, "Hey, how much coin do you have?" And then you hear Mando's theme again, which is super cool.
Yeah.
The other big kind of thing I really liked was obviously where he's in Slave One, as it's properly called, otherwise known as Boba Fett ship. He called it a fire something, but which is the type of the ship that it is. And so people are theorizing that may be the new way it's described. Probably also, sorry, there's something in my eye. Also because Finnick wouldn't know what he's talking about it if he said, "Hey, I gotta go get Slave One."
Right.
So fire spray. Yeah, exactly.
Anthony's all over it today. There we go.
Loving it. So we might get, so that might be maybe the new name if they just call it the fire spray, which would be cool. If we're not going to call it Slave One, we still better call it something super cool.
Right.
So anyway, we go to the start. We kill off the Nikto, which is awesome.
Yeah, he just obliterates them, you know.
And then we go take on the Sarlacc. And I like that I actually showed like the little head coming out, which a lot of people don't, you know, the old school fans don't like it because it wasn't there. Lucas added it. And so I thought that was a cool little addition. Then some major kind of lore was dropped in that Boba Fett described his armor as Beskar. That in the comics and legends and even with sort of stuff canon now, it's like kind of dodged around. Like it was Durasteel, right? Which is below Beskar, but still ridiculously still
really
strong.
Good. Yeah.
So now I'm fine with it being Beskar. I'm totally fine. Yeah. Although you're going to have to explain what happened to the helmet and how it got dented.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. A couple things.
Is supposed to be a fight with Cad Bane, but we didn't actually end up seeing it. But you'll have to explain that dent if something's powerful enough to dent Beskar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I never thought about that. Yeah. Yeah. What would be powerful enough to do that? And what's really cool. So this episode, let's see, to finish, is that so the Sarlacc pit, he goes back, destroys it, or that's back in the flashback, right?
Yeah. Well, he does. So in Legends, in Expanded Universe, he does go back and like shoot, you know, attacks the Sarlacc pit. And then I thought it was great the way they did it, where Fennec hits the charge.
Right.
Like, boom. You get that big sound. So that was cool. So we've killed the Sarlacc.
Right. Yeah, that was good. Now what I didn't understand was like he must have been out of it when he got out of the Sarlacc pit and didn't remember that. Yeah, he's totally confused and doesn't remember anything of that really happened there. And that's the, because we're all sitting there going, like, we know where it's at and all this kind of stuff, but it explains why, you know, he didn't know how to find it. Right. And that's why it took him so long to get it and acquire it. So that was pretty cool.
And then when he goes back down to get it, remember, Fennec is like, "You're burning up, like the toxin is still in there." And he comes out. So she's like, "You need a back to tank." So we've been cured with the back to tank. We're good to go. Black Chrysanthemum's on her side. So for me, this episode, I'm probably going to go like a 9.2 for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I felt like episode 2 was a 9 for me. I felt like last week's episode was probably like a 7. Now that I've thought about it a little bit more. But like, and I would say even comparing it with Mando episodes, I mean, this episode for me sits inside of like good Mando episodes too. I would have it ranked that high because getting to see Boba back in his ship, getting the armor, we're going to war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things are heating up. And I do have one kind of little prediction theory. The woman Tusken that trained Boba.
Yeah.
I don't think we didn't see her body last week, did we?
I don't know.
Her body's like the one, I think she's still alive.
Okay.
Could Boba end up have to fight her at the end?
Wow, you mean like for not in a flashback, like, modern day?
Modern day, like yeah. She could be on the side of the Pikes, like perhaps like you killed us because you decided to go after this train and all this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, either
or
that
fight
or
alongside Boba.
Yeah, I was thinking too, maybe, right. Maybe that because there could be some confusion. If she might be confused as to who killed her people, and understanding that the biker gang is associated with Pike Syndicate, the whole bit there. So that's pretty cool. I don't remember whether or not she was actually killed or one of the bodies that he burnt, you know? Mm-hmm. So if anybody has any information on that, let us know. That'd be really cool. So real quick for me, I'm right there with you at like, you know, 9 out of 10. I thought this was a great episode. And it had tons of little Easter eggs too, which at some point here, just a few minutes, I want to go over kind of some of the Easter eggs that I found and some that have been referenced already by other, you know, bloggers and different folks, because this was jam packed just with some cool stuff. Madame Garza again was really cool. Mm-hmm. Being there with Black Carsantan was just awesome in the Trandoshans. So yeah. Oh, Ben saying nope, no body was found, maybe.
Yeah.
So I like that, Matt. I like that's a pretty cool, that would be a really cool way to kind of talk, because if they're all gone, you know, it feels because he is, you know, he gets, here's something that's interesting.
I mean, he's with them for 5 years.
Well, remember when he sees, he must already have Fennec and have his ship when he sees Mando go out to Cobb Vanth, because that's the episode where he's standing there and turns around and we're all like, whoa, oh my God.
He does have a ship then.
Yeah, he has a ship at that point. So even right now, as far as the flashbacks go, I feel like there's still room. Is there not still something more to kind of explain, maybe?
Yeah. So the people were breaking down last week's episode, the flashback when he goes in to talk to the Pikes. And remember, they're putting the helmets on the spikes and you see Pelimoto walk out. People are saying that it's been reported that that is another angle of the scene where Din Djarin is walking in to meet Pelimoto for the first time.
Okay. All right. That's
because because in Mando episode 5, same thing's happening.
I see. Okay. So they're trying, that's really cool. So trying to understand where this is in relationship to things that are happening in season 1 of Mandalorian. Cool.
Right.
I like that. Okay. Let me bounce around here. Let me go over some Easter eggs. Is that cool?
Absolutely. There was a lot in today's episode.
So one of the ones I have pulled up here at like 1646, I just thought this was super cool when Fennec opens up. They want to know how many guards are in, and I'm not going to go in any particular order. So as you have one,
think
about it. But like,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
that was a Darth Maul kind of like. It felt like, you know, his little
and then the Grievous one. Yeah,
Grievous was in there too. I mean, that was cool. There was the EV droid was in there, but like her little kind of scouting like probe droid thing. That when it was like red,
Darth Maul episode 1, yeah,
it had that it same sound effect, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, when you heard the sound of it, it was like, you know, I can't even do the sound. But when you imagine his probes that he sent out to find Qui-Gon and Anakin, it sounded exactly the same, which I thought was really cool.
Star Wars Theory said that the sound that it makes when Fennec cuts through
the bars
is the exact same sound effect that is used when Anakin kills Dooku in episode 3. Like if you listen to them side by side, it's like the exact same slap, like cutting sound.
Wow.
I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why, but it's just like
He's right. I just listened to it. Because I have it pulled up here and I'm just kind of like, I like to click through as we do these things. That's at 1744. Great. Like the hissing noise is exactly the same. You're right.
Right.
As when he slices his arms off or whatever and beheads him. Holy smokes. That's cool. Cause I mean, why not? Just if you're going to add in, that's just an extra little layer. Like that tracking device and just have Finnick having things or having sounds associated with her that take us back to Clone Wars and take us back to 1 through 3 is cool, I think.
Yeah.
So
I'll say this too. Today was a great episode for Finnick. I mean, she was in there just wrecking people in Jabba's palace. Well, at that time it was Bib Fortuna's palace, but soon to be Boba's palace.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And I like that. I like that we get a little bit of, I really like the exchange between the two where Boba's talking about like, I'm tired of us having as bounty hunters to have to go, you know, do jobs for stupid people. And she's kind of deciding to go along with it. And that I like that they're building this friendship. And yeah, I think that that's great.
Yeah, I do too. Her debt was going to be paid. Also, we never really got,
it was already clear, paid. Yeah.
Yeah. A clear feeling on how she felt. You know, about her modifications, but she was dead, right? She was going to die.
Right.
And so flat out, like, this is a second chance at life. But getting the ship back is debt paid, but now she's choosing to stay, which is cool.
And she knew exactly who Boba Fett was too. He's like, I'm Boba Fett. And she's like, Boba Fett's dead.
Right.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Those two working together. Fantastic. Because he starts to explain the plan. I think she uses the term, let me see if I can find it here, Groto, was that what it was, guys? The referencing a gang, almost like a slang term for, yeah, that was pretty cool. Just that she knew kind of what he was trying to become. And Gatra, excuse me, there it is.
Right.
So, in-universe slang, Gatra for gang organization. So that was used in, it's been used before in Star Wars, which people were kind of pointing out online. But she knows how difficult that's going to be. And he's just trying to distinguish himself and set himself up as different. That whole conversation was really a good insight into how Boba Fett has changed and how he's evolved. Right there, he explained to us everything that we had been speculating and theorizing about, which is that the Tuskens, his time with the Sand People had changed him and that he has learned a lot from them. And
yeah, I love these this is all that concept art they show at the end.
Yeah, absolutely, those are great.
So cool.
I thought, I'm like, Boba, yeah, he's over top the Sarlacc pit. I'm like, come on. I thought I was
save,
like,
I'm gonna have to save all this. This is good. Blacker Sant, I'm wrecking people. I do love that, by the way. They do it in Mandalorian. I don't think they don't do this in like the Marvel shows, but they have done this in both of the Disney shows.
Yeah.
And I it's just such a cool thing that they showed like this concept art while the credits are playing. It's like, it's something I never really thought about ever being a thing in cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't ever really see this as like a thing. It's never like concept art. It's always like either just credits or it's, you know, like a lot of movies end, but they have like their own sort of like cool thing. Like in the Spider-Man movie, it's doing its own little cool animated thing. But it's just such a cool way to do it.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah, no, I think so too. It's just neat. You know, the credits are rolling. I think it keeps people around. You want to watch those more. And then you're looking at the creators and stuff, which is good. That, I mean, so many people work on these things that I think it's cool to have something that kind of holds your attention.
It's a Star Wars thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So let me continue on here with just a couple more things that I thought were kind of interesting. So droids that were in this. I love the droids. So the EV-9D9 droid was that droid when they're in the kitchen. It's the one with the flat kind of bottom jaw. And it is the one that I believe is like pulling the lever to torture in Return of the Jedi. So it's got multiple uses. You had the lead chef who was in there, who we saw as like a General Grievous, you know, with the blade situation. But the other droid is definitely one we have seen before. And then there was this droid. It's an LEP service droid, and we saw these. It was the one that looks like kind of like a rabbit or like a bunny. I don't really know how to. It's got the tall ears or whatever, Matt. Like it's running around. You know what I mean? And right. He's trying to catch it. That was actually in Clone Wars, and so we saw that droid there. There was also a droid that served the Caminoans on Camino. Yeah. So that was there too.
So let me, I'm going to pull up an article here. This is from Bespin Bulletin. So this was posted yesterday before the episode came out. So this is potential leak for the next episode. Although at this point, I'd say it's pretty obvious that we know we're getting it. So I'm going to go ahead and dive into this, but I guess just potential E spoilers, nothing really big. This is an article I saw. So this was posted yesterday. It's by a pretty good sort of leaker, is that Din Djarin's ship that we're going to see, because remember the Razor Crest was destroyed. So the article goes on to say all kinds of stuff. He said from his inside source, he was told that Din would not only show up in The Mandalorian, which as of yesterday, we didn't officially know that, but I think now it's like pretty official that we're obviously that we're getting him. But and he was saying his source led him to believe more so that we would see Din in episode 5, which is the next episode. And we heard his music play twice and everything. But the ship he would be piloting is the good old N1 Starfighter, right? Which is the Naboo Starfighter is what the rumor is leading towards. Because remember, he needs a new ship. Now, he can't necessarily do a lot of bounty hunting in this, but I just see this as a sort of a placeholder for him.
Right.
Since he lost his last ship, and he could write a reason I think he would like this is one, he probably got it for pretty cheap. And two, it is pre-Empire, which he has already stated that he likes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like you said, this could just be something that he shows up in and he could have a hangar that he keeps it in. And then he has another ship where he,
I don't think he has another ship yet.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying like down, I mean, he could sell this one at some point.
No, he's going to get something new down the line for sure. But yeah.
Yeah. But no, for a one episode or two episode thing, he's riding around in it and then he sells it for something better. Yeah, for sure. That would be. Yep.
Hey, that'd be cool. Anthony says, Anthony, real farm boy, in the comments saying Bespin Bulletin is a very trusted source.
Mm. Cool. That's good to know. That's cool. I think this is great.
I'm going to lose my mind because I love this, because I obviously love episode 1.
Right.
I have played the old Jedi Starfighter game that came out during that all the prequel games, which is really like the golden age of Star Wars video games. And you got to fly this. I've always thought, by the way, that this ship is so underrated.
Yeah.
Because it has massive cannons on it. And I think it just looks cool.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Well, that would mean,
Anakin blows up a massive space station with it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And if they're on the market, that's something again too. It's a beat up, rough, whatever thing, and he grabs one. That would be Where will Grogu sleep? that's funny. No, I'm all for it. You know the speeder bikes, right? The Power Ranger speeder bikes that people have been obsessed with or whatever. Again, this is another one of those things that you bring something like this in. You're making all these tiebacks to Clone Wars. I mean, Boba Fett is there. He is there in episode 2. And he grows up during that time. And then now you've got Din Djarin, who is also there.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm starting to think, by the way, and somebody kind of said something along this in the comments too. The reason we kept seeing all those Kamino flashbacks is more so that it's more so to show that like the life of the bounty hunter is like watching like his only family he had leave. And like he had to watch his dad die.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And so this is all sort of about finding your own place and a different place, like in the galaxy. And now he's the head of the family, right? He's got people he likes and all this stuff he's working for. So I think that's going to be part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I think that's a good point. One more quick mention here. I don't know if you guys caught this in the episode. Now this was a throwback to Clone Wars, but Black Chrysantin, when he fights that Trandoshan, that's not just, because I was wondering at first, I'm like, why does he fight that? Why is he so irritated and upset? But the Wookiees in the Trandoshan have this rivalry. They don't like one another. And they've been hunted by them. And some of their younglings were taken and so on. So I thought that was kind of a cool, interesting, you know, little connection to some of the Clone Wars stuff. Just that he is in Madame Garza's. and he's just getting irritated. Just he's already kind of an irritable Wookiee for sure.
She seems to know him.
Yeah, yeah, she does.
Because what did she? What was the name she called him by? His like nickname? She said Santi or something like that, or
yeah, Santin. I don't know, Santin.
Yeah,
yeah. She shortened his name. I think she was just trying to calm him down. And what was cool is Boba Fett's watching that whole exchange, and he sees, you know, what she's trying to do. So although they've got kind of this, the relationship is not yet. So I don't know. It's rocky because of the mayor and because of the pikes and everything. I feel like Madame Garza is going to be somebody who they're going to be close. I feel like Boba Fett's going to be eventually close with Madame Garza, and they're going to be kind of like, maybe she's an informant in town, keeps him posted on stuff. Right now, she doesn't really know who's going to win out. Boba Fett's got to win this war, prove himself, and then she'll be locked in. Okay, he is the, what do they call it? The Daimyo or whatever.
Santo. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one sort of relationship I hope we get sort of explored a little bit more. I feel like over the course of the story, we need just a little bit more about her, because right now she just like immediately sort of falls in line to be like, okay, well, this is all your stuff. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we should trust her.
No, for sure. And that's where I think she is just torn. I really think she's caught in the middle of all these politics and all these different, you know, what do you do, her establishment. She just seems to be navigating all of it really well. So which side is she on? Sure. But I just kind of feel like they showed us a scene where Boba Fett saw her try to calm down BK, and it almost worked. But again, he's got to rip an arm off, and then he's satisfied. And he pays. She was trying to clear his tab too, and he goes ahead and, you know, he pays for it and rolls out and is going to work with Boba Fett now, which is great. Max Rebo's still there, right? Shout out to Max.
Hit it, Max.
Hit it, Max. Hit what? What is she talking about?
There's been more. Max Rebo has had more plot developed for him in these few episodes in the 5 minutes he'd had on screen than the entire sequel trilogy had. I'll just say it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Max Rebo's plot has been more well thought out than the entire sequel trilogy. Okay. I mean, come on now. What are we doing?
I am such a fan. I am such a fan. It's just got such a good vibe going on in there, you know? And I feel like everyone's having a good time. Even the Trandoshans are having a fine time. I feel like after BK erupts, everyone's like, all right, like, you know, right back at it. Like, money's flowing, drinks are flowing, music is being played. It's great. So that's somebody that Boba's got to get on his side. I really feel like they have to have some sort of an alliance or whatever. And let's talk, by the way, while we're at alliances, the whole each family, the Aqualish and Trandoshan and who else, the Klaatuinians, like they stepped back and said, we will remain neutral. And this is like his chance to prove himself against the Pikes. The Pikes are amassing and they have their whole dinner. They all get scared to death by the Rancor, which was pretty cool, right?
That was funny. Yes, that was definitely funny.
And he feeds them, you know, which is great. But I felt like that was a good thing for him to start to kind of, he's going to prove himself now. And just bottom line, just stay out of it. That's a better deal than the Pikes will give you. So you don't have to risk any of your own. I'm going to be the major protector here. I've got people working for me. I've got my biker gang. I've got Black Chrysanthemum. And then the whole lead up here is Din Djarin, my friend, the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Bring him in.
This is going to be sweet. I mean, so some people have been worrying, saying, oh, do you think he's going to overshadow Boba? I don't think so. No. I think he's going to be there. He's going to be hired muscle. I think we're just going to see him do a little bit of fighting.
Yeah, I do too. I actually think it's been great. Does he
and bring I don't any think we're going to. No, and I don't think we're going to see any. By the way, I think his role in this is going to be so small that we're not really going to get like maybe like a little nugget that's like a teaser, but I don't think we're going to get anything sort of significant. I don't think we'll see the Darksaber.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah.
Right. That Why would be not? Insane. That would be insane.
He has it. So like, let him use it. You know what I mean? Because he's got that. And let's just talk about Din Djarin for a little bit. He's going to have a new ship he's rolling in with. So if it is this Naboo fighter, that would be freaking sick. He should have the Darksaber. He should also, he and Bo-Katan are kind of on the outs right there. They're going to probably part ways. We will not see Gina Carano, right? We're not going to see.
Definitely not.
No, not doing it.
Although there are, I don't know.
I'm just running out of ideas.
Right. I would not be surprised
if at some point in the future we do see Gina Carano back.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I really wouldn't. Or they recast the role because she's a very, the character of Cara Dune was super cool and everybody really liked it.
Yeah. Very popular.
And as you know, obviously she said some things controversial, but let me tell you something. Disney at the end of the day doesn't care what people think about things being controversial or not. Right. That's why, you know, they like lay off tons of people and their parks.
The only thing
they care about is this. Okay. So if at some point they decide that bringing Gina Carano back would make them more money than it would like hurt them, she will be back. I guarantee. Okay.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. was a pretty controversial guy before Iron Man. They're fine.
Yeah, he was. Right. Well, again, once things settle, the dust settles and stuff, and you move past a lot of this stuff, she might just roll back in and be like, hey, I mean, or they might approach her and then settle something. You know what I mean? Talk to each other and sit down.
Figure it out.
Yeah. But who knows? So we'll see. Okay. So we don't think Din Djarin's bringing anybody with him. Grogu's gone. He's with Master Skywalker, by the way. He might have the dark saber, might not. I don't think we're going to see him use it, but I kind of feel like we might see it on him or somewhere.
I don't think Grogu is going to be. Yeah. Yeah. Carl Weathers did tweet. He did tweet something recently.
Let me go look.
And I think it was just alluding to the fact that he would be in Mandalorian season 3. It's like, obviously. I mean,
you're gonna be okay.
But I'm sure he'll probably direct another episode too.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a share here. Got some transmissions here. So this one was just sent 2 days ago, but it still works. So it's from Andrew. Remember, guys, if you want to shoot us a transmission, you can do so over at hyperspacehangout@gmail.com. We read these on the show. So, hey, guys, I was thinking about Boba Fett and had this pop into my mind. Maybe the person who's trying to kill Boba is Kira. Disney is releasing the comics, and you guys have been referencing how she went looking for Han. Maybe this is a connection, and we'll see her in the Book of Boba Fett series. I think it's a strong possibility and makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure if this is a theory anyone has really talked about. Kind of goes on. Pike's right here. Could it be hidden in plain sight? Thank you guys so much. Yeah, Amelia Clark, I believe, is right now working on, is it Secret Wars? It's another Marvel movie thing. Secret Wars, I think, has to do with the Skrulls. Those, like, the green things you see in Captain Marvel.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they're like a race. They're involved in things are like a super Skrull character. I kind of forget. I think one of the goblins that Spider-Man fights at one point is one of those things. Anywho, I believe that Emilia Clarke is involved in that project. And so people were like, oh, it'd be really easy. You got her right there. Just have her come in, swing over to do something for Kira. And she is being referenced in this whole Crimson Rain stuff right now. And you and I have talked about it, is if Boba defeats the Pikes here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beginning to establish this new sort of crime order, which I think is probably the likely outcome.
Yeah.
How is that going to affect the other crime syndicates out there, like the Black Sun?
Right.
Like because Crimson Rain. Because it seems like the Knights of Ren, who are in this whole deal at this point, are like gearing up for Snoke and Kylo Ren. So I feel like they're doing their own Sith thing right now.
Right. And so whatever has happened in that comic book series or at the end of it, whether Crimson Dawn is in some position of power or she set things up just the way she wants them to be set up and Boba Fett gets in the way, she's already stolen Han Solo's body from Boba, already caused him some issues. So there's a history there. Like, it won't surprise me at all if she checks in here and says, you know what? This is not working towards my end game. And there's some sort of, conflict between the two. So
I love it. I really, really hope we see Kira. There's really just no reason not to do it. People are such fans of Solo. Solo gets talked about on Twitter so much that it's like, look, if you're not going to do Solo 2, fine. Bring in Kira, bring in, you know, Han Solo, all those different things. There is rumors still about Han Solo in The Mandalorian and even possibly this. So I feel like.
Well, they're hiring people. I mean, they're hiring bounty hunters. I mean, that's just how big's your coin. Is Din the only person that we're going to see?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like I feel like you've got to get Bosk, get these guys, get Dengar.
Now, what if Lando shows up and he says, "Hey, Cap, on your right." Oh, wait, that's not what he says. That's Avengers. Yeah. Which they basically, you know, sort of ripped off. What does he say in Rise of Skywalker? It's basically the same thing, right?
Hey,
Cap, right. On your right. He's like, hey, or that's no, right. Hey, Poe, we're all here, or whatever.
Right, know. But he does say something like that, right?
It's pretty much like, hey, Cap, on your right. I mean, right, it's pretty much the exact same thing. No, we're all here, right?
Right, right.
So
that would be Lando again. They're doing the Lando series, and they want.
I mean, what if Alden Ehrenreich shows up?
Why not, man? Why not? Why not just go ahead and it's fine to bring in Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and these guys and help with the transitional sort of thing. Give them some more, you know, have them on set, have them as consults. Peter Mayhew did the same thing for Jonas when he was taking over Chewbacca. Like, I feel like that's an okay thing to do. And then let these guys act. Let them come back in here and build. It's just like the freaking extended universe, man, or expanded, excuse me. There's no reason not to just go ahead and like give us these stories. You know, Han wants to dip back into smuggling, or maybe he knows a person or two, or that comes across somebody. Orlando's involved. If Kira's involved, I mean, it just would be freaking awesome. You brought in Bo-Katan. We love it. You brought in Ahsoka. You've got Thrawn showing up in all of this. This is it, man. This is the chance for them. I mean, so far I'm loving what the Book of Boba Fett is doing because it's got Fennec in there. If they show up next episode and you cast somebody for Dengar and you bring in Bosk, I'm going to lose my ever-living mind. Absolutely going to lose it. And I don't think anywhere that they have been killed off or anything. People are still mentioning Cad Bane. So just kind of how those stories have been left open. He's got the credits. Got the credits, knows these people. Why not? And I'm really trying to think who else he would know. Zuckuss. I don't know if Zuckuss is alive. I don't know if in the comics he's died or not, but he's the kind of beetle-like character that you see in Empire. That's what they talked about doing, Matt, was you had these second-tier or third-tier characters, action figures. Your older brother got the other ones. You get these other guys. Like, we all want to see those characters come back, and I just feel like they're doing it, man. This has been bold. I actually think it's been bold in terms of like the little tiny nods back to 1, 2, and 3, Clone Wars, droids, just making it all kind of fun and giving us a new Boba Fett.
Yeah. Where, like, you know, and the thing is where I'm at right now is I know, like, obviously, you know, like Boba Fett's kind of like the most interesting character in this whole like expanding out Star Wars, because like Din, it was okay, here's a new character, and all like Rebels and like even Ahsoka is kind of easy because she ties in with them, but like you look at Rebels, you look at Din Djarin, and it's kind of like, how do we take these characters and connect them to the bigger Star Wars plot?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like Boba Fett is already in the main Star Wars plot, but he's such like a fringe character,
right?
Really, I mean, if you really go and you watch the original movies, he's in it for like 9 minutes. I mean, he's like, he shows up, he gets kicked off the sand barge, and that's it. Like, that's his whole arc in the original trilogies. So it's kind of like what they've already done now is they've given us, which I'm so glad they did, 7 episodes instead of 6.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think like Hawkeye and some of these other ones have been. So it's like Boba. Now you've given us Boba's story outside of his own solo arc. Okay. Now, like, we get it. We now know much more about who Boba is as a person, and we feel connected to him. So now it's almost time to tie Boba back into some sort of bigger Star Wars arc. And that's where I think, you could bring in a lot of these characters there's really so much they can do in these next three episodes. I mean, obviously they're filmed and recorded, but I think that they're going to do, that's just going to be, it's going to accomplish so many things. It's going to continue to push Boba Fett as his own solo character, as well as like create new Star Wars questions and answer Star Wars questions.
Yeah.
They're knocking out of the park with this first, you know, like WandaVision type story. Because The Mandalorian, I still view as it's like its own thing. It's not like a mini series.
Right. Here, let me, this is the genius that they've done, right? So the big surprise in The Mandalorian was that Boba Fett is back. Now they're telling his, like, that's huge. That season two was so full. I mean, just so many things. The Spurs in season one, walking up to Fennec, everyone's like, that's Boba Fett. Like, that's
although when he was walking up to her in this, he did not have Spurs on.
Yeah, I know. They kind of went. It's so
I think they just did it just for the heck of it. That's a little tease.
Yeah,
it was fine.
It's okay. Yeah, I love it. So I feel like, yeah, now we're getting all, like, these first four episodes have really got us kind of caught up on his story, Tuskens, understanding what was going on and some of his backstory. And now these last three, I feel like we're going to take it to another level. Because every time you see Temuera, Ming-Na talking about this series, like they go on some after show stuff. Dude, they're all talking about episode 6 and 7 as if they're the huge.
Something happens on a ship because Temuera Morrison actually slipped and said it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ming-Na was like, I think you mean Mandalorian. Like,
Yeah.
I did watch this funny interview with them the other day, and he was saying that he actually wanted less lines first two. And he was like, no, he's like, Boba needs to remain mysterious. But I will say the chemistry between them, like acting chemistry, is just so good. Cause like, you can tell they're just like really good friends. All the interviews with them are just amazing. And she's like, yeah, what he was actually trying to do is get out of work. You know, and he's so good. They are like, they work so well together as a duo.
Yeah, they do. It's fantastic. So yeah, man, like this is the time where this is a great comment. So he's healed, right? Boba is 100% healed. We're now at the present time. I don't know if they're going to do much of the flashback stuff unless it's something with Kamino or understanding more of that. And I think really they were showing that just to kind of say, yeah, it's a connection to his father, understanding really that he's adopting that. He's becoming like a father figure to this family. He's stepping in on that level, and Ming-Na is there as his, you know, second, and I don't know shit. So to me, buddy, this is like, we're going to fight the Pikes. We're going to need some hired guns. We're going to get the likes of Dengar, Bossk, Zuckuss, Mandalorian, whoever you want to bring in some gems for us and hire these folks. And we're going to have to fight the Pikes. And then I feel like I don't know why. I know nothing major has been dropped yet, but it's the first four episodes and you kind of save these things. Even if it's just one thing, I mean, there's no way Mandalorian's not coming in, right? There's no way Din Djarin's not showing up when you play the Mandalorian theme.
No.
Right? I mean, he's going to be there. I think that's a given now. So now I say, what else is coming? Is it Kira, or who is the other bigger surprise? Because they're all talking like it's...
Right. I try to think of all the characters it could be. But again, so we will need... Because if Black Chrysanthemum's on our side now, we will need somebody for...
The Pikes.
Boba to fight. No, we will need somebody for Boba to fight.
Right.
He's like going to have some like sort of,
right?
Well, yeah, but it could, maybe like, they go hire bounty hunters.
Yeah. They might hire like a champion. That's what I thought you're saying. Is that like, yeah,
they tried BK and that didn't work.
Right. And the Hutts are now out, which is, so that's cool that they stepped in and they're stepping out.
I don't think they're out.
Yeah. You think they're still,
I 100% believe they're still. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Bossk? But I feel like you already have the Trandoshans on your side now.
Yeah, and again, he's out. If he's still part of the Bounty Hunter Guild or whatever, I don't know if does he take jobs where he's just a hired gun, you know, just muscle? Does he do that? I think he would. But I'm trying to think from episode 5 or even episode 6, just some of those extra characters who they might bring in.
Would they hire Omega?
Oh my God. I don't know. Now I'm kind of thinking Omega's not in this, right? Because I just feel like we're getting too close to the end. And I feel like it's more.
I think they're going to allude to it.
Yeah, they could allude to it. I think with the Pikes, Kira now seems more likely if you're going to really go crazy on your theory. And then any of these other bounty hunters hired muscle, could it be anybody else from the Mandalorian that we've already seen? You know, remember there were in the jailbreak episode. God, what is his name, guys?
I don't think so.
What is he doing?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I also happened to catch a lot of Bill Burr interviews because he goes on Joe Rogan and he goes on a lot of sports shows and stuff like that. And he talks about like the process for, because he does like a lot of stuff, but anytime he ever talks about being in Star Wars, he says like, oh man, it's such a big deal. He's like there's like millions of guys running around, like cameras, and you got to stand here and motion capture and like all this stuff. And he's like, it's just crazy. So I don't think he's in anything until Mando season 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I just try to run down the whole list of, you know, folks that it
could bounty be. Hunters.
Cause I've been surprised. Like there's these new characters, I mean, which are awesome. And they've built a world in front of us with Madame Garza. Madame Garza is fantastic. By the way, she's stunning.
You could see another IG droid.
Yeah, that would be cool. Gosh, yeah, I'm gonna look up the secondary cast for.
I mean, the big one would be somebody who's playing Dengar.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely, absolutely. Let's see, no.
But no, I feel like you could honestly do a cool Boba Dengar like arc in Boba season 2, which I think is probably likely.
Uh huh. Yeah. Gosh. Nah, none of these. You've got Lang. Nah, I'm just looking at all the characters here that we could have. IG-11.
Who we know as bounty hunters.
Yeah, just in general, just people who might like Dr. Pershing. I'm just looking at the old cast for Mandalorian and seeing who.
There was a big rumor. There was a big rumor slash like leak, but to me it seems more like rumor that there is going to be some. It's like some character who is going to appear that's going to tie it into the sequel somehow, like a Maz Kanata or something. But
oh yeah, that'd be cool.
I don't know. I just don't see that right now.
No, not yet. But maybe for the Mandalorian or something. Yeah. Gosh, I don't know. Does anybody in the comments have any thoughts on who we could see? Yeah, it's too bad because Cara Dune would have been perfect for this, right? You need hired muscle. We all would have been speculating that she'd be in it. Migs Mayfeld. I don't know, like Matt, you know, maybe not.
Right. Here, let me pull while you're thinking about that. Let me grab another transmission here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cass.
So this is from Wes. He says, "Hey Matt Nez, episode 4. Like, oh my God, loved every minute of it. It appears Boba Fett has officially been reborn. He's whole. He was baptized in the desert and has arisen a new man. In some ways, wiser ways, I appreciated that we got to see him get his ship back and how him and Finnick became partners. The meeting of the families was epic. Had a very Godfather-esque feel to it." Yeah, I've kind of thought like the Sopranos, you know, sometimes. "You can see the Boba is thinking strategically. And he's playing to Jark, thinking one or two moves ahead. Placing the dinner above the Rancor pit was perfect, showing the others his power and what he'd do to anyone who crossed him. He's got Chrysantin on his side now. I hope his relationship is more like his with Fennec, but Chrysantin clearly has a violent and savage streak, which is fine. It'll suit Boba's purpose in the next phase. How great was it to get the Mando theme song, as Fennec was saying, we're going to need muscle, and she knew exactly where to look. Now, I know Disney is planning a Marvel-like team-up in the series or movie with Din, Boba, and Ahsoka, but that doesn't make it any less cheap when they show up. Tatooine is clearly the place where the team-up will happen. Anyway, cannot wait to see Din, Boba, and Fennec working together in the next episode. We need that. Will Din have a new Razor Crest? Will he wield the Darksaber or just the Beskar staff? Is this the beginning of a new covert being established in Mos Espa for the Mandalorians or of the Watch? So many questions. Can't wait to hear you guys' thoughts later. P.S. What's the new name of his ship going to be? Disney said Slave, you know, is gone."
Mm-hmm. So did he just say Ahsoka? Like the idea that Ahsoka might
could appear? Be. I don't think so. But if Ahsoka shows up, then it's going to be freaking ridiculous. And we would. Like, if Ahsoka shows up, then this you know, of the non-Mandalorian Disney Plus shows, which includes like WandaVision, Loki, and all that stuff. Which, by the way, I mean, like, Loki was like, that felt massive.
Yeah.
I mean, what did it do? But Loki felt like really big. If Ahsoka shows up in this, it will easily be the best Disney thing, period. It'll be better than Hawkeye, better than Wanda, better than Loki, better than Falcon, Winter Soldier.
Right. So I was just trying to think of individuals who could even show up on the Pike side and just like be working for them and not know that, you know, Boba's amassing this other group, you know,
the Martez sisters.
Hey, maybe, you know, something like that. They're running a job or working for them, or they're there for different reasons and they get hired and roped into all this.
We could introduce a new character that's working for the Pikes that doesn't die, that then goes on to work, like be somebody that we fight in Mando season 3. Like, you could establish a new villain here.
Yeah.
We fight somebody that gets away and then they show up in Mando season 3 or something.
That's a good point. They did that with Moff Gideon, right? Moff Gideon shows up and you're like, wait, who? Right? What's going on here? And that's another bad guy that we have to fight and continue to come across. So, like, if the Hutts come back again and you want to keep using the Hutts or the twins or something, that would be interesting if they showed up at the end and they are really behind a lot of this stuff.
Right.
I'd be even cool with something like that, just making them a bigger deal, or Jabba's son, or who knows what you want to freaking do. But yeah, someone brand new that is allied with the Pikes would be, if it, Kira could be that person. She could be the person who is like a bad, you know, on the not dark side, but opposed to Boba Fett. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Kira knows the whereabouts of Thrawn.
Wow. Yeah, that would be interesting if she did.
Maybe Thrawn's the one behind all this.
Yeah, I don't know. Because again, he was dealing with was it Morgan Elsbeth and Lang or whatever, and they were mining.
He's dealing with something.
Like, is there something besides Spice? Is Spice some sort of cover run?
Thrawn could still be above, say, even if Kira is in charge of Crimson Dawn, right? Or Crimson Rain, right? Which could answer to Thrawn.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I feel like if it gets that high, if it involves him, then the spice run is a cover for some other mineral or resource, like something more military. That, because that's what that operation was. Seems like they were just sort of raking that planet for minerals and resources.
Quaxium.
Yeah. So I feel like he probably would be doing something like that to be building up some sort of force or whatever, which would be cool. Which would be really cool because
they were doing cloning there on Navarro.
Right. Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah. I looked up just looking up a list of characters who can
and remember, we still don't know. We still don't know what the status of the Empire is. I mean, even though Moff Gideon was just defeated, it seems like there's still obviously a lot of like shadow of the Empire, right? Remnants still out there that have yet to turn into the First Order.
Well, and speaking to that, I was looking at Madame Garza's place and I was stopping at every kind of character trying to see if there's anybody back there who looks like someone who's an Imperial hideout, like your Mara Jade like character or Emperor's Hand or something, who's just on the run and just hiding, because they had stormtroopers there. We know this, that the Empire had a small presence, why not?
When Din shows up, do you think there will be any conversation about, like, I mean, I know I said I don't think we will, but I mean, I think we might get like some little nugget in passing. Like, if something's going to be sort of vague, that's going to allude to something that could happen in Mando season 3. I don't think we're going to see him without his helmet off either. Cause I think I'm just guessing in terms of filming and stuff, you can just have Pedro Pascal do voiceover, which is easy because you just go to like any studio and do voiceover work. I don't know that he was like on set to film this.
Mm-hmm.
So just be surprised if he doesn't take his helmet off, I guess is what I feel like. And by the way, real quick before I went off that. So I was reading somewhere, or I was listening to a video where they were talking about one of the reasons that Pedro Pascal pushed for having his helmet off in season 2. Remember, that was like a big deal and everybody thought he was leaving. Is because if you don't.
Right.
Then you lose the ability to win certain awards.
Yeah.
Like, Emmys, or not Emmys, but Grammys.
Yeah,
not Grammys, Emmys. Jeez, yeah. I am right the first time. Yeah. Is you lose, I guess you like lose access to it. So that's why they're pushing to get their, to have their, as so many scenes with their helmets off or whatever, which is fine.
Yeah,
I'm totally great. Fine. I'm
Tomorrow's
totally,
doing
totally,
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm totally fine with it. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I don't like the whole not taking your helmet thing off was like a new thing. And so I was like, whatever. I mean, I'm totally fine with that. But anywho, I don't know that we will see his helmet off in here. But do you think we'll get a little nugget, something like, oh, hey, man, who was that Jedi that showed up? You know, like, or you know, I mean.
You mean
because Boba Fett leaves, and then Luke Skywalker shows up, the guy who knocked him into the Sarlacc pit.
Oh my gosh!
Well, I mean, it's Han, but
right, he's fighting him there. That would be crazy because that's they totally did that whole thing where they made sure Boba didn't come across Luke because there would have been trouble, possibly, or, you know, some animosity.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah. Like they just wanted to, you know, avoid that and have their moment. So yeah, that would be cool if he mentioned that, if he mentioned what happened to Grogu and that he just gave him to a Jedi or something, you know, because he,
I don't know that Boba now would have hard feelings about it.
No, he seems to be like, it was all working for Jabba and he puts it all back on Jabba. Like this was stupid. You know what I mean? Right. Like the things that he had to go through and that he had to do. And it's just, I liked that because he was like
all the bosses he had to work for.
Right, that he was smarter, that there was unnecessary, you know, people were losing their lives, his friends, I mean, air quote friends, you know, I know Boba Fett was kind of a loner, but like still people, he was in that trade. And yeah, a lot of these individuals were sticking their necks out for ridiculous things. And he just felt like it was, yeah, he feels he now sees that it's unnecessary. So one that I have here for you. So he's looking for hired guns. What about the marshal of Mos Pelgo, Cobb Vanth?
I know.
That'd be crazy if he showed up there and he like stepped out and just pulled his gun on somebody and just, you know, I think that'd be sick. I mean, probably not, but like if you want to bring in a minor character, you've established Cobb Vanth. Let's do it.
I know. See, the problem is that some of these actors,
right,
like that play, like it's like to bring in Black Chrysanthemum is easy because you can bring in anybody and have them put on a Wookiee costume.
Sure. Yeah,
but to like bring in like Timothy Oliphant, that's why it's like Emilia Clarke's like really hard for me because she's mega star. I mean, she's movie star.
Well,
like those things get found out. I mean,
yeah,
as much as they tried to hide it for like years, everybody knew Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were in Spider-Man. No matter how much they said no, we're not. Like everyone knew for like years that was the case.
Right, you're right. Yeah, but there was, yeah, you're just speculating, talking about it. I still feel like, you know, everyone knew Ahsoka. The rumors were Ahsoka's going to be in, Rosario Dawson's back. And that's what Dave and those guys were saying, Jon Favreau. We knew the people knew they were coming in. You can't stop some of those things. It is what it is. It's okay. But every once in a while, they do something like a Luke Skywalker moment and Mark Hamill. And that's shocking. The fact that they pulled that off is marvelous. So, They know a way
forward. But look at how they had to do it. I mean, look at how they had to do it. They had to have another actor. They had to.
Right.
And some of these Star Wars people return.
I think the payoff is, especially if you're that actor. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's not worth it. I guess what I'm saying is, I think
the odds are not in their favor.
It's like one thing to bring Mark Hamill to a Star Wars set. It's another thing to bring like Emilia. I mean, like Mark Hamill outside, even. He's not like a mega star like Emilia Clarke is. I mean, Emilia Clarke's like, I mean, you're in like the biggest of movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
I just feel like it would get tracked. Like people would know.
Yeah. I believe there's a way and it would be really
Cobb Vanth would want peace on Tatooine.
Yeah, he would. He would. And he's right there. So I feel like, you know,
Fennec was a great comment here. Fennec was there. So I feel like that situation had to be explained to Boba. Mm-hmm. This Jedi showed up. Jedi, what do you look like?
Yeah, good point. We could also see something through transmission. You know, we always think that people are going to show up right there on set and stuff, even though they still have to do some sort of capture in a studio somewhere. But yeah, it'd be kind of cool, even just a voice cameo or something. I don't know.
There is an article saying that Cobb Vanth could return, rumor. But right. This article is saying that with the unlikelihood of Din Djarin showing back up, well, I think it's pretty obvious that he's shown back up now.
Yeah. 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 So I don't know. It just.
Although, to be honest, why should they even have to pay Din?
What do you mean?
I mean.
Oh, he owes him one. You mean? Is it you're saying that in the
Star Wars universe? I feel like Din owes Boba one.
Yeah, sorry. For a second, I thought you meant the actor. I was like, Matt, they got to pay the actor to show.
Yeah. No, I guess, I don't know. Are they even after he did give him a ride to go track down Moff Gideon and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It could. I just feel like Emilia Clarke is so big that it would get leaked.
Yeah. Where there's a will, there's a way, my friend. And if
I hope so.
I hope so, because I also am the guy who was sitting there when Luke Skywalker showed up and I said, there's no way. I was watching the whole thing. And right. I was like, if you watch my reaction, I was shaking my head the whole time. I was like, I was almost in tears. Even when he gets there and he's about to reveal his hood, I'm like, that's not Luke. There's no way. So I didn't believe it right up until he actually does it. And I just think it's, you know, we'll see. It's just that and that's something that's lost, right? But if you're able to do it, if you're able to bring in a surprise like that, that's why season two finale for Mandalorian was like just so freaking awesome. The whole Baby Yoda Grogu intro was so freaking awesome. They did that out the gate. And then you have things like the Spider-Man thing. Yeah, even though people knew that was coming, it still was like Ahsoka. Even if you don't do Luke, and they did do Rosario Dawson and that gets leaked and stuff, that's still fantastic because it just was like the hype was so, you know, I don't know what you call it, fan service or whatever, but it was there. You felt really, really, really good about what they were doing in Mandalorian season two. So,
I mean,
even if it's leaked, I'm down.
Will we see Cobb Vanth again? 100%. I 100% believe we will see. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're seeing him in Book. I mean, because look at this. I mean, he was leaked to be in Mandalorian. Uh-huh. Like early stages of Mandalorian, he was leaked to be in it.
Right.
I feel like it would have been leaked that he was returning for this.
For this, yeah.
Because I mean, unless they shot a scene, they could have, because Boba appears in the same episode as him of mm-hmm. Mandalorian. If they shot something back then, that mm-hmm. fit that ties in. Maybe he goes and asks him, and he says no.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I don't know. Gosh, I get it. You know that it's hard to kind of keep secrets and whatnot. But it would just be so awesome. And now what I'm thinking too is, as you go into Mandalorian season three, once we get through these next couple episodes, someone like Madame Garza or like Peli Motto was like a reoccurring character, and like now having, you know, Madame Garza show up in other things. If people ever go to Tatooine, they could stop in there and see her. You're nearby Boba's place, but he might be out doing something. I just feel like that's kind of cool. Now you have characters that we like, right? I feel like she's going to be one that we're going to remember for a long time, and she's going to be well established on Tatooine. Even in like books and comic books now, Matt, like as they build all that out, somebody pops in there to make it feel more connected or more whatever. You stop by and you see Max Rebo and Madame Garza and, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking up here. So I'm looking at Timothy Oliphant. There's like nothing saying anything that he's even remotely, you know, doing anything in Star Wars involved. So other characters I'm just trying to think of off the top of my head. I mean, you can always do something with sound. Like sound is really easy. Where you just have a voiceover line and they say something and it's like a hologram. That's very Star Wars-y. Okay, cool. But to fit like physically showing up, Bossk for me is the easy one because you already have all these Trandoshans and then you just have somebody step in and play Bossk.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then Chewbacca, same thing. You could do something like that. Although I feel like people would be saying, again, like you said, Chewie's in this or something because the costume's there or whatever. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. It gets into, like, if Bossk is in it, you feel like, well, someone would see the costume or say something. I get the other extra layer is when there's an actor and
that, right.
I get that.
Right.
I'm just kind of, Because, you know, it's all the layers of like the
right. But HR, they do
getting people I know. In and all that kind of stuff.
You know? Well, and you have to like work with their agent and call the guy, and then you get them upset, yeah. And you have to sign a contract, and you have to, you know, there's a ton of steps that have to, filming schedules have to work out, and there's a lot to it. But I will say, so like the thing with Mark Hamill is like Mark Hamill had shown up on set to like check it out, right? Oh, okay, cool, right? That happens a lot where people show up on set and they just get to walk around and see stuff. Like Gina, was that her name? Gina Gavankar?
Yeah, yeah.
Who plays
Versio?
Aiden Versio. Did like puppeteering work in one of the episodes of Mandalorian. Are we gonna see Aiden Versio at one point one of these shows? Yeah, you better believe it. 100% we are.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
So is that like, that's kind of the thing where sometimes it's like, hey, we have the person here. They're going to just walk around set. Then the next thing you know, they're in it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, I'm scouring the internet right now. Yeah. It's
just for nothing. Just news and everything. Yeah. Nope. I think we've hit most of it. I mean, Din Djarin's definitely showing up.
Yeah. Which is great.
What if he doesn't?
Oh, he's going to. Has to. I think that's what's wonderful. That's what's great is that like that's a given now. And so
is he going to be in all three episodes or just one?
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if he was?
With there being three episodes left, it feels like, you know, how do you, so it's like this next one's preparing for battle, then you have a battle, and then you have something else. The fallout of it.
Yeah. I feel like the guns have got to start showing up this episode. You might have one more flashback or something. Do you think we're going to see more flashbacks in the last three episodes? That's a question.
I think maybe we get one more. I don't know what it'll be.
Right. Maybe just him tracking down Cobb Vanth or learning more about that and getting with Tuskens and talking to Fennec about how he needs to get his armor back, maybe.
Yeah, because I think at the end of what it needs to finish with ultimately is it needs to finish with some sort of, it has to finish with something that allows this, basically what I'm, you know, like somebody pointed out, I think Anthony pointed out, like it's sort of your first Avengers arc, phase one. That's where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're setting up for Thrawn. So how does Boba being the Daimo and the head of a family lead us up to like his faction being involved, and I think maybe a showdown with Thrawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and taking back Mandalore, which seems like that's going to be the next big Mando arc.
Yeah,
and Bo-Katan and Ahsoka.
Yeah. Okay. Rack of my brains. We're going to have to do a full list, I think, of just of every possible even character. In a suit or alien, as you're saying too, like that could. These last couple episodes who we might see, because they just need to hit a home run here, and I think they're going to, and it sounds like it, honestly, Matt, even if we don't get a whole lot of that stuff, it doesn't matter. Even just a fight straightforward with the Pikes here, I'm happy. Like, we saw Pikes, we've seen all these different little droids that they're bringing in, Jabba's palace, all the creatures there, the band, all the little lingo, we got connections to the Clone Wars, we got the freaking the sound effects as you mentioned earlier in the episode. So yeah, to me, it's already been fantastic. So
yeah, absolutely awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, with that, that was our review / sort of reaction to Book of Boba Fett episode 4. We have three more to go. Don't worry, Ez and I will be back with plenty more Book of Boba Fett stuff. But just had to get on here and do our sort of review, initial thoughts of it, and we'll have to do an even bigger breakdown. And stay tuned for some more Patreon content or Apple Premium content as well. So be sure to send us a transmission at hyperspacehangout@gmail.com. We'll do our best to read your comment live or question live on the show. As always, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And remember that traveling through hyperspace ain't like dusting crops.